A popular saying I've heard in Christian culture is to not be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I understand the sentiment behind that, and I think it's sincere, but personally, I've never liked that old saying. Because I believe when we read the scriptures that the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good for God's glory and the love of our neighbor we're actually going to do. Because mature Christians, a mark of discipleship, of a strong relationship with the Lord, is one that is eternally minded. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, where one, he talks about the world and says, I've told you often, and now say again with tears, so not with judgment, with actually hurt happening here, with compassion for people, he says that many live as enemies of the cross, that they're anti-Jesus, they're anti-Christianity. He says, and here's the markers of their life. Their end is destruction. They will be judged for their sins. Their God is their stomach. Now, does that mean that they go to the buffet too often or always go for seconds every night at dinner? That's not what he's talking about when he says their God is their stomach. He's saying they're self-consumed. They're focused ultimately on themselves. He says their glory is in their shame. That's the glory they're going to receive. And then he gives the big problem at the end of verse 19. Of Philippians chapter 3, he says, they are focused on earthly things. That's the issue. That's the root. That's what's driving everything else in their life, is their focus, their attention, their worth, their value. Everything they're about are the temporary things of this world. Then he makes a strong contrast. In verse 20, he says, our citizenship, those who belong to Jesus, those who are in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a contrast. He says, here's one group of people. He goes, I write with tears. This is painful for me to talk about, he says, because I know the reality of their lives. I know where they're headed. He says, they're gods themselves. They're self-consumed. They're focused on the things of this world, he said, but not us. Not those who are growing in Christ. Not those who belong to Jesus and are living their lives with God. We are eagerly waiting for Christ. All the promises that he has made us to ultimately fully be fulfilled. And because we realize our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. So does that mean we remove ourselves from the world? Does that mean that we just don't care about anything happening here? Actually, it's the opposite. Because I want to be so eternally minded, it should lead me to want to do as much good as possible. Peter warned about this. He told the Christians to see themselves as not from this world. He called them sojourners, aliens, exiles, temporary residents, some translations of 1 Peter chapter 2 say. He says, make sure you see yourself this way so you know your ultimate loyalty is not here. So you don't give in to the cravings of your flesh. So you don't give in to people whose God is their stomach, whose end is destruction, who are focused on earthly things. He says, remind yourself regularly that this is who you are. You're people who are not of this land. Yes, you live here, but your loyalty does not lie here. He goes, see yourself that way. But then the very few verses later, he says to them, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles who are unbelievers in this context. So he's not telling them to remove themselves from the world, to be so heavenly minded that they're not connected to any people who are far from God. And at the same time, in reminding them their loyalty is not here, he's telling them to make sure they also don't resemble the world. We want to avoid two extremes of being eternally minded. We don't want to resemble the world, and we don't want to remove ourselves from the world. And we're not going to understand that or figure that out or live that faithfully unless we actually truly believe our citizenship is here. One of the biggest struggles I see in Christian conversation today, if it's in discipleship meetings, mentoring, if it's in counseling, are people who are struggling with this idea. Because all the messaging coming at them regularly is that this world is it. They might believe in heaven, might believe the gospel for themselves, be among the children of God, be involved in local churches, but just a scroll of their social media feed, just a channel flip through the TV, over and over again, it's about self-fulfillment, self-actualization. Do whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you feel best, pursue those things. Even use spiritual language around it, such as, God just wants me to be happy. So people will make destructive decisions that are contrary to the word of God simply because they believe that this earth, this world, is what is best for them. We have to help people to understand that God calls us to remind ourselves regularly that yes, we live here. Yes, our mailbox is here. Our address is here, but our loyalty is not. Our citizenship is somewhere else. That this world is not supposed to be the place that fulfills us ultimately. This world is not the place where all of God's promises are ultimately realized to us. And we're never going to actually believe that it's more important to be eternally minded than to love this world, unless we really do believe the greatest blessing God gives us is Himself. That the greatest blessing of God is actually God. It's a relationship with Him. It's life with Him. And I'm actually, like Paul said, he wrote with tears about people who were enemies of the cross and whose God is their stomach, their end is destruction, they're focused on earthly things. When I think about that in our context, it's making ministry very difficult right now for church members, for pastors, for church staff, for church elders, church deacons, because we're trying to point people in Christ to the things of God when it's so easy today to kind of blend them together and want some of eternity, but some of this world too. And the only remedy to that is for us to regularly believe that we are citizens of somewhere else. What does it mean to be eternally minded? It means that ultimately that God is not yourself. That you're not so self-focused all of the time that you miss out on the better things that God has for you, which is actually life with Him. I believe eternally minded begins with John the Baptist when he said that in terms of his relationship with Jesus, he said, I have to decrease, He's going to increase. That messaging is not popular today because it's about elevating us, elevating ourselves. That's the opposite of a mindset that believes our citizenship is somewhere else. So for marriages, for relationships, friendships, satisfaction, contentment, all these things are going to be at their highest level when we really believe that an eternally minded mindset and idea is what we must be pursuing as the people of God rather than the things of this world. And the alternative is destruction. The alternative is being an enemy of the cross. The alternative is focusing on earthly things. That's not the way of the Christian. That's not the way of the people of God. We're people who don't want to resemble the world, don't want to remove ourselves from the world, but want to faithfully live in this world as we eagerly wait for Christ to come. How often do Christians not want that to happen? They don't want Jesus to come back tomorrow. They believe He's going to, but they're not eagerly waiting for Him because they like this world a whole lot more. We have to educate ourselves and learn more about what it actually means to anticipate, to wait for a world to come. And as those things begin to happen and develop in our lives, we're going to be people who are so eternally minded that we're going to do as much earthly good for God's glory and His mission as possible. A true mark of a disciple is someone who is regularly eternally minded, not someone who is focused on the things of this world. If we're going to be this, we must live out that contrast that Paul illustrated in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, where he says, this is how the world lives, but not us. We are people of God, and as a result, our hope and our joy and our satisfaction and our longing is in the world we eagerly wait to come.